paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadness.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 945 of Dread Media. I'm your host, Desmond Reddick, back with you for another great episode. And I'm going to tell you all about what this episode is. But first, I'm going to tell you about the best way to support the show, and that is Patreon page. Patreon.com/dreadmedia. Support the show for as little as $1 a month. You get early episodes, you get perks. Head on over there and check it out. Even if you want to do like a single donation, donate through Patreon. You know, put whatever amount you want in, and then after you get charged that amount, you can cancel. But in the meantime, you got a month to check out some perks. So go and check that out. Patreon.com/dreadmedia. Thank you to everyone who does. Now, this week, I'm really excited. Did I say happy Halloween? Happy Halloween. It's Halloween week. That snuck up on me. And I'm not actually recording a Halloween-themed review until this weekend. Tom and I are getting together to do a recording this weekend. So I will have that one next week. And then I'll probably take a week off. I'm liking this new schedule. I don't know if you are. I haven't gotten a lot of feedback lately. So, yeah, let me know. I like a little bit more easy breezy schedule because work is a lot this year. So, yeah. I am busier than I was last year doing weekly episodes of Dread Media. This year, doing no weekly episodes. So, do the math. But I got a great episode for you this week. First of all, I am interviewing Remington Smith. He's a filmmaker. He's the writer, director, and producer of the brand new vampire movie, Landlord. We're going to talk all about that coming up in just a sec. I'm going to apologize for the audio. It's not as crisp and clean as it usually is because he was out on location at a screening of Landlord. And we're going to talk about the film and what it's all about and, you know, where we can keep an eye on to see when you guys can see it, because I love the movie. So check it out. Landlord with Remington Smith, the writer, producer, and director of the film. And then I'm going to do a solo review of Frenzy Moon, Greg Lamberson's new film. You know, we've talked about Frenzy Moon a couple times on this podcast with Greg. This time I'm going to talk about it on my own. But in the meantime, we're going to play some cool tunes. And before we get to the interview about Landlord with Remington Smith, I'm going to play a Napalm Death song called Dear Slum Landlord.
Yeah.
am very happy to have with me the producer, writer, and director of a brand new horror film that I really went in completely blind on. And watched it last night, and I absolutely loved it. I'm talking about the brand new Landlord. With me today is Remington Smith, live on the scene moments after a screening. Remington, welcome to Dread Media.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. I'm right outside of a Mexican restaurant after our screening at the Nightmares Film Festival, which went really well. So awesome. Thanks for your invite here. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. We'll get to Landlord in just a minute. I really enjoyed it. But first, I want to know, like, where did it all start for you? Either, like, you know, I know you've been making some genre films. So is love of genre or filmmaking itself? Where did that all start for you?
Yeah. So I had kind of grown up on horror movies. My dad had shown me The Monster Squad when I was really young.
Nice.
And horror comedies like Fright Night, the kind of wackiness of Big Trouble in Little China. Those were the movies that were in heavy rotation in our household. But then also I grew up really poor, moving around a lot, living in apartment complexes, trailer parks, a lot of different kind of edges of society, for, you know, a lack of a better word. And so I just realized, you know, the places that I grew up in weren't really reflected in a lot of the horror movies that I had grown up on. And so I just thought, what if I combined a kind of neorealist movie like Andrew Arnold's Fish Tank with John Carpenter's The Fog with wow, the vampires. And so that was kind of the jumping off point for the feature after I'd been doing a lot of documentary shorts and some horror shorts before this.
Right on. Very cool. And it's funny. So, I mean, it's funny. You mentioned those three movies and I was like, check, check, check. Okay. I know, I know exactly who you are because we are cut from the same cloth.
yeah.
So, it seems like, you know, growing up, you had probably a lot of experience with actual landlords.
Yeah, actual landlords, and then a certain amount of like horror for a lot of Americans who are worried about living in poverty. And so that was what, yeah, since I had grown up living in these kinds of apartment complexes, or for a little while there were a few trailer parks where people are owning your housing, I was just thinking, well, what happens if a vampire owned your housing? Then they could come and go as they please, right? Because then they own it. They don't need to ask for permission. And I figured a lot of people had experiences with bad landlords. So this idea of them preying on you financially and on your blood just seemed like something that might resonate with people. And so that was kind of the jumping off point of coming up with the idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what happened here is you really stumbled on, you know, one of those ideas that people are like, oh, shit. You know, like, how did I not think of that? Like a 30 Days of Night, for example.
I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. Like, that's always exciting to me as a genre fan. It's like, if you're really familiar with the lore and then somebody comes at it with this new thought bubble, it's always exciting to take a peek at those movies. So I'm glad to hear that it registered that way. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, because, you know, I mean, while I was watching, first of all, I said I went in blind. I read enough of the PR email that I got to be like, okay, this sounds cool. I'll give it a shot. And, yeah. And so while I was watching it, I was obviously, you know, I mean, Fright Night was in my mind, you know, also you've got a kid sort of centered at the center of the story. And I'm like, okay, all right. I love this sort of riff on it, but I didn't know. I was thinking, oh, is this going to be like a straight, like, horror splatstick comedy or something. Mm-hmm. I was really unaware going in, and you know what I got was this like sort of intense horror film with like beautiful cinematography and great acting at, you know, just sort of buffering up this already great idea, you know. I guess it was a nice surprise for me, and I think you're going to maybe land on my favorite films of the year list.
Oh, well, that's very kind. Yeah, I was just thinking when we were making the film, how do you combine the gnarlier things of the genre and then some blood and violence, but also there's going to be beauty in this world. And I think for me, the cue was I think Hollywood tends to really dwell in a kind of poverty porn place when dealing with issues of like class and
yeah,
these kinds of spaces that are in the movie. And the thing that I really loved about like Sean Baker's film, The Florida Project, is he illustrated what it was like for me growing up. Like it can be really fun and pretty. It's not all just a downer note. And so, you know, gradually more night takes over as the vampire starts to kind of take over a little bit more of the territory. But, along the way, there are going to be these spells of beauty. And then hopefully that gives it some dynamic range. So I'm glad that that worked for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it worked on every level. I really just enjoyed it, you know, and there's like, and I love a movie with a good, like, you know, sort of social idea at the center of it that is used cleverly and intelligently. And, you know, it's, you know, doesn't bash you over the head with the central theme, but it's completely all pervasive and there. And it's also like menacing as well. I mean, William McKinney, is fantastic. Is it pronounced Adama or Adama?
Adama.
Adama Abramson, is our lead, and she's like absolutely fantastic. Were you involved in the casting?
Yeah. So, my casting director and co-producer, Abby Van Andel, I had worked with her on a 48-hour film, that won because of her performance. And so she was my, entree into more of the acting, talent that was available in Louisville. And then also the casting process to like, how do you go about trying to find actors, that were out of town to fill some of those slots? And so, Abby was really crucial in getting this, amazing, roster of actors together. A lot of them local. And then Will McKinney from Tennessee, as well as Cohen Cooper, who plays the boy Alex.
Yeah.
They were only actors that were in from out of town. He's in Memphis.
Oh, wow.
So not too far away. And so with them as our like kind of holy trinity to carry the movie, I felt really confident that like, okay, we've got something that can rock and roll, but if we didn't have one of those pillars, we would have been delayed. You know, it was really lucky to get them.
Yeah. It's just fantastic. You know, like when you're watching a movie and it really felt like everything seemed to lock into place with this.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
It really did. I'm not bullshitting. I was actually talking to my kid before I watched the movie last night. You know, he's 19. He was heading out with a friend. And he's like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, oh, I'm watching a movie for an interview I'm doing tomorrow. And he's like, oh, what movie? So I told him about it. And like, I told him the premise and he like laughed. He's like, that's a good idea. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I mean, I hope it's good because I'm talking to the guy who made it. And then I'm watching it last night. I'm like, fuck yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. It's been fun to be here at Nightmares because like, I'm just throwing stickers on my walk from the hotel to the gateway, talking to people about the movie. And they're like, wait, what? That sounds awesome. I'm like, cool. Okay. Like this idea is still evergreen, even though I found a really, really early Microsoft Word doc that had the beginnings of it in 2014. So it's been a long, long haul with the pandemic and just the process of getting the script in a good place. You know, it just took a while. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it really does feel like a labor of love. And the fact that you didn't, you know, let it float away, is telling. So, yeah, well done. I loved it.
Yeah, half the battle is just trying to find ideas that can sustain a feature. So once you tell people that premise enough at parties and they go, huh, and they want to know more. Yeah, you got to hold on to it.
Yeah. It's kind of the perfect elevator pitch, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it's only in hindsight, as I've been telling people about the movie, like the pitch just needed to be, what happens if a vampire owned your housing? Like just that line. It doesn't have to be so much about the story. That could
be after.
But once you have that pitch of the concept, then we get you to hang with us, hopefully with the characters and then, some fun, John Carpenter kind of stuff towards the back half of the movie.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. How long was, shooting?
So based on looking at every other filmmaker who's doing their first or second feature, I fought for a 25-day shoot because I wanted to make sure that especially the quieter dramatic stuff got to stay But, you know, after you saw the movie, you know, we did everything you're not supposed to do in your first feature film. We had kids, we had animals, we had special effects, we had pyro, we had weapons, like we were doing night shoots. And, but if we were going to do something that I thought would have the production value to tell the story in a kick-ass way, that's what we needed. And so some people were like, you can't do that, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, watch me. Because I realized if they had seen like some of the short films I'd done, like, the documentary on the Kentucky Derby, just called The Derby, I was the director, the cinematographer, the sound recordist, the editor, the producer. Right. They wouldn't have imagined that that was possible, but I did it. So some people, it's just like, some people just have different approaches to production. And then not every film is like a paint by numbers production job. Like you can be creative in your producing to maximize your dollars just by making sure, for instance, you film in an apartment complex that already has a lot of existing lighting. So you don't have to hire a huge lighting team. And shooting in real places that are already kind of set decked out. So you have to make very tiny modifications instead of overhauling it. So not every movie needs to be made the exact same way. And so we were fortunate that, you know, my first time out on a feature, but God knows how many shorts I'd done at this point. I just felt confident that we could find a way on a budget and also make the days, you know, not just do an 18 or a 14 day shoot for this kind of project.
Right. Right. And it's very like sort of spare and intimate, and it just sings like it goes by. It almost feels like a short film by the end of the movie. Just like,
oh,
it's
just, thank God.
It's paced so well, man. I was really, I was really, really impressed. I know you're at Nightmares Film Festival now. Are we just doing film festival screenings right now? If so,
well,
what's coming up?
I'll let this helicopter go by real quick. I don't know how audible that is. So right now we're just starting the Film Fest tour because we premiered at Grimfest last week, and then now I'm here at Nightmares. There's another screening that will be announced soon in December. I think we're going to be coming over to the West Coast, and then we're going to do a Louisville premiere screening soon. But if people want to program us or want to book a screening, I'm already starting to think roadshow because I used to run a campus movie theater back in the day. And so, you know, after all the screenings that I've done with shorts and a couple of people I know in other cities with movie theaters, you know, let's just take it on the road and start getting more of those like in-person experiences before probably sometime next year. Hopefully we'll find distribution for a digital release and then maybe some more theatrical.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm sure you'll find some distribution. It's a really impressive movie, entertaining movie. And, I just want everybody to be able to get out and see Landlord.
Remington,
thank you for being on the show. What's next for you? Let's say within the next 6 months, you've done a bunch of screenings, you've got distribution. What's your next move?
I think I would like to get a lot of the Landlord crew back together. Most of us are local in Louisville, so I'm kind of imagining a creative party hangout to help me with the music video idea so that we can maybe shoot something small and then can release it quick and get kind of that dopamine hit of, not having to wait so long like it is with a feature. But, in the meantime, I've got something on the burner, just kind of percolating as like a kind of coming of age boat movie. So instead of a road movie, this kid steals a boat and is just kind of trying to figure out what's next for them. So I think, a little bit like Little Miss Sunshine, but, cool. So that's kind of what's loosely in the works right now, but you never know what might bang you upside the head. It's like, oh wait, actually the next big idea is this, so
sure,
we'll see what happens.
Very cool. Well, I'll be watching and I'll be paying attention to my emails so that I can let everybody know what's happening with Landlord and yourself going forward. Thank you, Remington, for being with us today on Dread Media. It's been a blast, everyone. If you get the opportunity, when you get the opportunity, you have to watch Landlord.
Yeah, thank you very much. And you can follow us on the Landlord Film official Instagram page for those updates. And the trailer is available there. And thank you so much for taking the time to watch the movie and chat with me and bearing with tech issues as I'm standing outside of nightmares right now. So you guys have a good weekend.
I've dealt with plenty worse tech issues. Best of luck at awards tonight. And also another thank you goes to you for giving me an opportunity to play some dead Kennedys. So everyone check out Landlord. That second L is capitalized. It's all one word, but that second L is capitalized. And let's get out of here with Let's Lynch the Landlord. Thanks, Remington.
Thank you so much. That's awesome.
The landlord's here to visit. They're passing disco down below. Says I'm doubling the rent because I'm building some dams. You're going to help the buy city hall. Oh, we can. You know.
So, I don't know, it's been a long time, but maybe I should preface this review with the fact that I have been friends with Greg Lamberson, I guess, almost the entire run of Dread Media. So, there's that. And also, a character featuring my name appears in one of the novels that this sort of werewolf universe is based on. Also, Greg and I both have the same or very similar taste and very passionate feelings for what we want our werewolf movies to be. And finally, Greg Lamberson has directed his werewolf movie, Frenzy Moon. It should not come as a surprise to anybody hearing this, seeing as we've had Greg on at least twice to talk about Frenzy Moon and making the film, leading up to the making of the film, and then, of course, like post-making the film. And I have seen the film several times at this point, and a couple times in its finished form. I was hoping to have a little bit of information for you, but I also kind of wanted this review to be in the Halloween episode. So maybe next week I'll just come back and mention the announcement. The announcement being the announcement of distribution for this film comes out Monday, the day you're hearing this on the regular feed, at its earliest, I suppose. So if you're hearing this, It has been announced, so you can either look it up or you can wait for me to tell you what it is next week, as long as I remember. I'm usually pretty good with that kind of stuff. JK. Anyway, Frenzy Moon. It's got a pretty basic plot. A group of young folks go out to a cabin out in the woods, the family cabin of one of the people of that group. One of the cars featuring this group of young people quite literally runs into a man who they eventually discover is hunting werewolves in the woods. And what? That's crazy. But then, of course, we have the werewolves attacking the cabin. It's a werewolf movie. It's a siege film. It's got elements of sort of like a slasher horror, or even just sort of like young people horror. But it certainly goes for it. So where do I start talking about Frenzy Moon? I mean, the elephant in the room has to be the werewolves. And I like an upright werewolf with sort of a hybrid wolf, bipedal body, and then a big old wolf head on top. That's what I look for in my werewolf movies, and that's what Frenzy Moon's got. A combination of costuming and puppetry to achieve a really great effect. Solid thumbs up on the wolves. The acting is solid. I think there are some definite standouts for me. Aaron Krieger plays Gavin, the hunter, who is sort of drawn into this group. He's great. Gabriella Nunzio is also, she's one of the young folks. She's great. She's kind of, I guess there's a couple of, there are the stereotypes. You've got the reserved girl that's played by Caitlin E. Newberry, also really good. And Gabrielle Nunzio sort of plays like the cool chick, And of course, I'm into that. She's great. She's absolutely great. And then it's sort of rounded out by another couple of actors. You got Kayla, Malika, Harold, Jacob Applegate, Stephen Mysecki, I guess, maybe. Maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong. Really great. Lots of carnage, lots of werewolf carnage. Once shit kicks off and the lighting gets bisexual, it very much has a Carpenter vibe, but I guess it sort of has that before that, because this is a siege film, and we know that John Carpenter, adores Rio Bravo, it being, I think, his favorite movie of all time. At least it's the one that he's emulated the most. And this one has similar vibes. I would say it kind of has Howling vibes. I really hope you can't hear my dryer right now. Dryer wasn't on when I was sitting down to start recording this, but this is a household full of people. But, there's gunplay, there's gore, there's multiple werewolves. I could have even held this review back to pair it with a review of Sinners, because there is a similar vibe. There is a sort of siege aspect to Sinners as well. Look for that review in the coming weeks. But this movie just sings. And I was going to... It appears that information is not on IMDb. 81 minutes. There we go. If I can go back to my screener invite. Yeah. And it's a short, quick movie and it rips through at a good pace. It's got some solid gore. It's got some fun characters. It's got some, fun little story turns. Again, I don't want to talk too much about it, so as not to spoil anything. It's really fun. It's the most fun I've seen in a werewolf movie made in the past several years, actually. I think maybe when Greg was on the show and we were talking about our favorite werewolf movies, when we did the, was it 81? Was that the year where all four of those movies came out? And there's certainly a couple classics among those four movies, that we talked about, and, not many classics since then. I really, really enjoyed the application of werewolf horror in this film. There is the definite, impending doom of what it looks like to be attacked, by a pack of werewolves. There's also, a bunch of characters who decide to prove themselves worthy of standing against this pack of werewolves. And they sell it, you know? They sell it. No, not once where I was like, oh, fuck, here we go. You know? They sell it. It was good. I loved it. So if you're wanting to watch this movie, and you should pay attention to an announcement today. I imagine if you go to Greg Lamberson's, technically he's Gregory Lamberson on Facebook. If you go to his Facebook account, you'll find the announcement there. Or you'll find it from me next week. Is this Greg's best film? I don't know. I would need some distance. Now I'm like answering questions that haven't been asked, but I definitely thought about it, over the several times that I've watched this movie. Is it his best film? It might not be, but it's definitely in the conversation. I would say it's probably top three, and I'm not going to say the other ones because that's for me to know and you to find out. Perhaps in a top five Greg Lamberson films, at some point. But until then, check out the announcement, that comes out today as you're hearing this, and get yourself a viewing of Frenzy Moon. My initial preliminary rating is a hugely entertaining 4 out of 5. Look for a VOD release date sometime in November. News forthcoming on that. And I mentioned at the top of the show that I was going to be playing some new Halloween music. And, I've played this band before. They're a metal band, sort of like a horror metal, pop metal kind of vibes. But they put out a surprise EP called The Acoustic Halloween Special. I'm talking about Bloody Hammers, if I haven't said the name of the band yet. Bloody Hammers. This is from their brand new release, The Acoustic Halloween Special. And this is their song, Hounds of Hades. Because wolves are kind of like hounds, right? Right. Check out Frenzy Moon. Here's Hounds of Hades by Bloody Hammers.
All my time just running from the hounds of Hades. Feel the breath and I'm hearing those broken chains. Told the line, but it seems the devil's claim me. Lord knows it's hard to hear beggars plead. Well, the moon's hung crooked and it's black and it's blue. Got a feeling that it's all gonna be over soon. Whole town stared out at the incoming doom. They say good luck to you. I hear them howling now. 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 This ain't the way that I plan to go out. I guess I'll follow that fate sound. And when I get to the gates of hell, they better give me the key. I hear them howling out. I hear them howling out. I hear them howling out. I hear them howling out.
Is us, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode as much as I did putting it together for you. And if you did, you can let me know, dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. That's the email address, dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. There's a group called Dread Media. Join it. I'm on the things, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Dread Media. Yeah. Find me there. There's a Patreon page, patreon.com/dreadmedia. That part's important. For as little as $1 a month, support the show, get some perks. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's it. Have a happy Halloween. Have a safe Halloween. Have fun, but you know, take care of yourself. Take care of others. Watch out. Watch out. The war on Halloween. All right. That's enough. I got another, special Halloween song. Shout out to the homeboy, Tom DJ, who I'm, talking to on Saturday and recording a few new movie reviews for you. The phrasing. Lyrical. So he mentioned that, Unto Others, you know, one of my new favorite bands, even though it's been like a couple years now, because that's still very, very new to me. You know, I saw the 20th or the 25th anniversary re-release of Boris's album Pink. And I was like, motherfucker, like that, I consider them like one of the new bands that I like. And I bought Pink when it came out. Ugh, old. I feel old. But I discovered Unto Others much more recently. They opened for 3 Inches of Blood, which the homeboy Kyle and I went to see in Vancouver. And holy shit, they knocked me out. And they have a second EP, Halloween-themed EP, I Believe in Halloween 2. Now I gotta hunt down I Believe in Halloween 1. This EP, I believe, I'm not looking at the record right now, but it's got, I think, 3 originals and 2 covers. One of them being the already released, Pet Sematary cover, the Ramones song Pet Sematary. I don't know if I played that, cause I definitely had that, cause that came out on their last record. Bonus track, but. I don't know if I played that during the Pet Sematary episode. Seems so long ago at this point. But anyway, Yeah, I love Unto Others. They're very much like, I don't know, The Cure if Jake E. Lee was their guitar player, or, you know, like. Anyway, Unto Others rules. This is their cover of the Misfits classic. So here we are, Unto Others and Halloween. You guys take care of yourselves, take care of others. Happy Halloween, and we'll see you literally next week. Not next time, next week. There's another episode next week. Stay tuned. Tom and I are reviewing VHS Halloween. Woo! Here's Unto Others and Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.